today, okay? And I'm just sensing a little bit of a lull right now. That. You don't got time for that. All right, let's go. Crank it. Crank it, let it cross. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
Hello, what's happening? Welcome in, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 1017, 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert with Derek Johnson. Happy to have you with us. We'll talk to David Leske of Baseball Prospectus Kansas City coming up at 3:30 after Eric Skoglund's stellar debut. 6 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, and looks like he's earned himself another start later this weekend in place of Danny Duffy, who's going to be sidelined for, 6 to 8 weeks is what they're saying. So we'll talk to David coming up at 3:30. David, recently engaged. He just announced it yesterday. So
big news.
We're going to find out what he did to that poor woman to make her.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I mean, he said he tricked her into spending the rest of her life with him.
Isn't that what every guy does?
Probably, if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, most guys, you always meet a guy or you meet his significant other, and then you leave and you say, man, what's she doing with him? And if you're not, and it sounds bad to say that about somebody, like, hey, come on, he's a catch. But to be honest, like all my friends, they all went out of their league. They all went and tricked somebody else. And they're like, you know what? Good for them. That's a compliment. If I'm telling you, like, what's she doing with you? That's a compliment, right? It's the most backhanded compliment you could ever receive or give. But so we'll talk to David coming up at 3:30. Yesterday on the show, I contest that I made you laugh for the first time genuinely. You give more courtesy laughter than anybody I've ever met. And you're also...
I'm just a gentleman.
You're also a poor fake laugher. Let me hear your best fake laugh right now.
No.
So, I tell a joke. I deliver the punchline. And I said, size 6, what about a size 7?
Oh, I thought you were saying what you were saying yesterday.
No, you deliver the fake laugh.
Okay, try it again.
All right. And I said, size 6, what about a size 7?
There you go.
That is what I hear every day. I hear that every day. And hearing you do that right there, it sounds exactly like what I hear from you every day. So I know
I'm gonna have to check the tape on this.
Courtesy laughter all the time. And you're not even trying to make it sound sincere. It just dribbles out of your mouth like you could barely conjure up a couple of chortles from your sternum. God, that's bad, man.
See, but now I have you convinced that anything other than that fake laugh is going to be real.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's all a mind game.
You've been playing the long game for a couple years. See, my fake laugh's good, and I have several variations of the fake laugh that I pull out for different occasions, right? So if it's just a quick little one-liner and I'm not trying to really interrupt with my laughter, it's kind of like yours. It's kind of... And you kind of you stay back a little bit to let them know that wasn't fake. You kind of come back and you go... You know, this really subtle little... That's a good fake laugh if you're trying to make it subtle. If somebody's delivering a joke and you really got to make them feel good, you really want to let them know that they hammered that home and it was a funny one. Get a look.
The clap.
Slap the desk. Jimmy, you're a funny guy.
You should teach a class.
I should, but you would be my first pupil, and you're the only pupil I want because I want to make sure... I want to make it to the point where I don't know if you're fake laughing, and right now I do.
But if you're teaching me the fake laughs, then you're going to know exactly what's happening.
No, I am going to teach you so proficiently that you are going to master it.
The student will become a master?
And I won't know, and okay. I won't, and then you'll start teaching the
class. Is there like one audience more than the rest that you use your fake laugh on?
Yeah, not like specifically, but just like people whom... I respect people who I see as higher than me, right? So, like, for family, you don't fake laugh at all. Family and friends are the types of people you never give a fake laugh to. You're always going to tell them if it was funny. You're going to laugh. If it wasn't, then you're going to let them know. Yeah, maybe work on that a little bit. Co-workers are kind of co-workers. Sometimes they'll give the courtesy laugh, you know, just you making small talk. Anywhere you're making small talk. Anywhere, grocery store, at work, out and about, you're gonna do it just to be nice. But if it's somebody in like a position of power that you respect a lot, that's when you have to pull out your best stuff. Mm. Because you don't want them to know that you don't think they're funny. You don't want to come off as smug, but you also don't want to overdo it. You don't want to be the overzealous laugher who, for a tiny little one-liner, is just keeling over abdomen pain because you're fake laughing so hard. And there are people like that, too. Everybody knows the over-laugher, right? Group of friends has the over-laugher who will just laugh when no one else is laughing, and you just wonder, like, who are you trying to impress here? Or, you know, it's not funny. That wasn't that funny of a joke. Just give us a couple chortles, and we'll move on. So work on the fake laughs. I think it's a fascinating... And fake laughing is no laughing matter. It's a very serious subject that we attempt to tackle here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Okay, time to stop having fun and do a radio show. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. As we talked yesterday about the Bryce Harper-Hunter Strickland fight between the Nationals and the Giants on Memorial Day. Yesterday, Major League Baseball comes down and hands out the suspensions for Strickland and Harper. Strickland suspended 6 games, the relief pitcher for San Francisco. Bryce Harper was initially given a 4-game suspension, but that has since been reduced to 3 because there was no warning ahead of time, and he argued that he was just reacting to being hit. So they bumped him down from 3 to 4, which, just even on the surface, though, even if we're just looking at it as Harper's got 3 now and Strickland's got 6, it still does seem a little bass-ackwards to me, right? Because it feels as though Harper should have gotten 1 or 2 and Strickland, as a relief pitcher, should have gotten 10.
Right, because he's only going to pitch, let's say it was 10 and maybe 5 of those, whereas Harper's going to play every inning of every game that he's going to be in. I think they wanted to make a statement about throwing the helmet. I don't think, because obviously hitting players, that's no new thing to baseball. So if you're going to be talking about throwing something at a player, it's going to have to be the baseball. If you're throwing anything, they don't want players coming up after they get hit with a baseball bat, with their helmet, with whatever, and coming up to the guy and trying to club him with it.
But that doesn't make much sense to me because... so
it doesn't.
So I guess by that logic, if he wouldn't have thrown his helmet, he would have gotten what, like a 1-game suspension?
I think probably 1 or 2. It seems weird because you would think that throwing a 98-mile-per-hour fastball at somebody would be worse than throwing a helmet at somebody, but who knows?
Yeah, okay, so we've kind of looked at this. I was going through earlier today and looking at all the angles of it from the Washington perspective, from the San Francisco. It was an ESPN game, so we looked at it on from that broadcast as well. But the one that was most interesting to me was the Washington play-by-play audio. And I believe we have some of that, do we not, Derek? The Washington Nationals television broadcast. And I apologize for not knowing these broadcasters' names, but this is kind of during the aftermath, and they're kind of breaking it down. We'll go ahead and let them take it away.
Bryce is going to get in big-time trouble for throwing his helmet. You can mark that down. But the other part, I think, as a hitter, you have to defend yourself. If a guy's going to wing 97 at you and mess with your livelihood, you have to go out there and protect yourself. You don't have to throw your helmet. I totally disagree with that.
So he's saying, essentially, you have to. You have to go out there if you're being thrown at. Like, there is no other option. Like, if somebody's throwing at you and you deem it to be intentional, you have to charge the mound and let this guy know what's up. So I'm assuming that's a former player. I want to find out more about this guy and his line of thinking, but I'm assuming that's a former player who's pontificating on the unwritten rules of baseball and how you must follow them to a T. But he does continue. I don't really care that much about the guy's name. What, do you have it in front of you?
Let's see. Wow, they have a lot of radio guys. Play-by-play was Bob Carpenter, color analyst F.P. Santangelo.
All right, the great F.P. Yeah. Santangelo. you sure that's not Santangelo? Santangelo doesn't really sound like...
It's all put together.
You're from SoCal, so...
It's Santangelo, I'm telling you.
All right, so let's go...
It says he played 14 years in the MLB.
Okay, so they continued on with giving their thoughts on the fight, in which another interesting point came up.
I'll just say this, and I don't know. I'm speculating like you are at home. If Hunter Strickland hit Bryce Harper on purpose, that's tired. Extremely tired.
I don't think there's any doubt he drilled him on purpose.
Well, I don't know that for sure. You don't know that for sure, but if that's the case, it's tired.
So...
Like awkward silence.
It seems like he's thinking kind of what I'm thinking, which is, what do you mean it's tired?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean, it's tired?
Getting old?
It's the first time he hit him. And yeah. It's not like he waited until the third time he faced him. It was the first pitch of the first at bat, and he drills him. Like, and I guess this thing stems back from a couple of years ago. Harper went deep on him twice, and I don't know. I guess was yelling from the dugout. I do agree with the idea that any time you're intentionally throwing at a batter for basically succeeding at baseball, like that's what Bryce Harper did. He went deep on this guy twice. He did his job. Like, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to hit balls very far, and he did that twice against Hunter Strickland. So you're intentionally throwing at him because he succeeded at baseball. That's very silly. But if, as a pitcher, you have this inexorable thirst to being a guy, then where Hunter Strickland hit Bryce Harper is the exact place you want to do it, at least as far as I understand. Like, you want to hit him right in the hip. You want to hit him right in the butt. If you can, and give him some credit, right? Give Hunter Strickland some credit. He'd been dreaming about this moment for probably 3 years.
Yeah. It's not like he's a starter, so he doesn't get to circle on the calendar every year. It's not a fact of, yeah, he got to pitch against Bryce Harper over the past 3 years. This was the first time he saw him in 3 years.
Yeah, first pitch of the at-bat when those two faced off. It's not like this was the third time he saw him that day. Like when... Yordano Ventura went after Brett Lowry the day after he slides into Kelvin Herrera's, or into Alcides Escobar's leg. It is the second time through the order is when he hit him, and then tempers flared, benches left, which I'm wondering at this point, I don't think Major League Baseball cares all that much about these fights. It's the most attention they ever get. It's pretty much the only thing that can happen on a baseball diamond before the month of October. That will lead SportsCenter. That will lead conversation on sports formats for the next couple of weeks or the next couple of days, if not, you know, a week or two after that. So I'm not certain that MLB doesn't like fighting. I mean, they put the videos up on their website. Benches erupt, dugouts clear. It's like, well, do you really care? Whenever people say, well, there's no place in baseball for fighting. Are we sure? There's no room for that in sports. What about the kids that are watching? I mean, were the kids watching when who was it? Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan went at it. Mm-hmm. Now are those kids who grew up and got in fights too? What's the worst that's ever happened? Have you ever seen a guy get his face fractured by a fight? I haven't, but I've seen guys' face fractured by getting hit. So what are we really getting at here? You hit two home runs 3 years ago if you're Bryce Harper. You're shouting from the dugout, whatever. Someone then gets to hurl a baseball, a very hard object at you at 98 miles per hour. And if that guy misses by a couple of inches, he can sideline you for months, right? If you miss and you hit the guy in his knee, out for 8 weeks, out for 12 weeks. So if it's okay to throw a baseball at a guy, then why isn't it okay to charge the mound? If it's okay to throw a 98-mile-per-hour hard object at someone's body, it should be equally as acceptable to go and confront that guy about it in a physical manner.
I'm surprised we haven't got more, and maybe this would just be super frowned upon in locker rooms, players or somebody who have got injured from that type of thing where they've got hit by a fastball, honestly kind of sue the pitcher or bring it to a legal court, right?
I wonder. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
What would happen? Well, it did happen once. It was, I believe it was the Orioles-Yankees back 15 years ago, and this Orioles pitcher nailed a Yankees player, and the Orioles play, the pitcher goes up and he puts his hands up in the air and he says, "Come get some." And
it was like
up,
Ventura with Machado last year.
Yeah, and he ended up getting, nothing ever happened. Like he won the suit or it got settled or something, but he did get sued.
Right, like when Ventura goes inside twice on Machado, he's staring at him. He pops out next time up, first pitch, Ventura nails him. And by the time Machado started making his way towards the mound, Ventura's already tossed his hat to the side, like, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knew exactly what he was doing. You're not going to show me up. You're not going to stare at me as you walk to the dugout. You're going to get some next time. I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. David Lesky joins us in 10 minutes. If a fight doesn't ensue, Strickland probably doesn't get suspended. Because there was no warning. There was no foreshadowing that this was going to occur. He hits him, and they start going at it. If they don't, Strickland doesn't get suspended at all. So what exactly is he getting?
Well, I think it's the admission of guilt that he did it to begin with. Because if you watch the video, you can see Bryce Harper say something. And from what I've heard, people are estimating that he said, "Did you do that on purpose?" And Strickland goes, "Yep." And that's when he charged.
We need some Zapruder film on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's getting six games. I don't think if Harper just walks to first base and says, "Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for bumping up my on-base percentage," Strickland doesn't get suspended. Harper doesn't get suspended. But I feel like you have a right to kind of defend yourself when what you're doing or what you're on the cusp of doing to that pitcher is going to come nowhere close to the dangers that were being hurled your way 10 seconds before. So I think that, I don't know if I really think Bryce Harper deserves any sort of suspension, but it makes perfect sense as to why he went after him. Like, that's why you had to go after him, and that's why you listen to the Washington play-by-play guy. If a guy comes at you intentionally, you kind of have to go after him.
Yeah.
And intentional hits, intentional, like, going after a guy, that to me seems just so silly in and of itself. That's a part of baseball that we've come to accept. And, like, don't get me wrong, I love the fights. It's about the only way you're going to get me to watch a baseball game that doesn't involve the Royals. And you better believe if I know a fight's coming that afternoon, like, if something would have happened last night the way it did 2 years ago, almost every other series, something would happen on Monday. Tuesday, you knew that there was something brewing in the clubhouse. Like, when Lowry went after Alcides Escobar, and he slides into him, you had to tune in the next day because you knew something was going to happen, and it did. It delivers. And maybe it makes baseball more watchable. Maybe it makes it more exciting. Maybe guys like Bryce Harper, who have personalities, are good for baseball. Like, have a star of the league be somebody who's not super boring, who's not just got to do our job, just got to help our team win. You know, we're just going out there one at bat at a time. We can't win it with one swing of the bat. It's boring, man. Like, who's the biggest personality on the Royals? Salvador Perez?
Either him or Eric Hosmer, but Hosmer pretty much says that Hosmer, kind of stuff Hosmer, all the time.
Hosmer is boring as watching paint dry, man. Like, yes, he's a good baseball player, fine baseball player. Smiles, says all the right things, but he's not exciting. You're not going over to his locker for a great quote after the game because you know he's just going to throw the smackdown on somebody. These guys, and this seems to be a baseball problem more than it is in any other sport, because you get it in every sport, but with baseball, you have less of the outliers. You have less of the Draymond Greens. You have less of the guys who are willing to speak their mind and don't really care what the consequences are going to be. And we love it when it's from our team. Hey, you know what? He's a team-first mentality. He's not out there trying to be a showman. He's not trying to draw all this attention to himself. But when you get that in every clubhouse across the league, then all of a sudden you wonder, is there any personality in this sport? Bryce Harper is about as big of a personality as you have in this sport. The problem is there probably are guys with personality, but we don't care about them because they're not any good. They're not stars. And I think that's what baseball desperately needs, is more guys like Bryce Harper who are willing to not only be one of the faces of the league, but also aren't afraid to ruffle some feathers. He certainly hasn't been in his somewhat brief career thus far in Major League Baseball. I'm Nick Schwert, It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. David Leske joins us next.